Thank you, Dick. Again, good morning to everyone.
So, brethren,
when you think of your calling and how that has affected your life over the years, it definitely does make you appreciate all that God has done for you. And for some of us, we've had many, many, many years to see God's work in our lives and that close and those close to us, like our family members. And for others, you just may be starting out in your journey. But no matter where you are now, to this point in your spiritual journey, from the beginning, there has been a constant support group, a community of friends that are there to encourage, to support, to build up, to praise, to correct, and to help each other. I'm talking about all of us. We, collectively, as a group, are a fellowship of believers. And so today I'd like to take a closer look at just what that word fellowship means. What comes to mind when you think of fellowship? How does it apply to each of us in our life? Is it really important after all, or can we go without it? Why indeed fellowship? If you want a title, the title that I have given for this split sermon is Fellowship, : Being a Fruitful Contributor. Fellowship, : Being a Fruitful Contributor. But first off, let's look at what that word means. What is fellowship? Because once we know what the word means, we can go more in depth and see what the Bible actually has to say about the subject. So, I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary online. And it defines fellowship as the following: a friendly relationship among people, or a relationship of people who share interests or feelings, and also a group of people who have similar interests. And I could see that with all of us. Fellowship is also defined as a community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience, or a company of equals or friends. Related words would include things like accord, agreement, harmony, oneness, solidarity, togetherness, unity, companionship, friendliness, and friendship. So through these definitions and related words, we can better see and understand, first of all, just what the word means. And in looking to this, I especially like the related words, not necessarily the definitions, but the related words for fellowship, because I thought that they portray it in a more personal way. Words like accord, and aren't we supposed to all be in one accord with one another, brethren? Words like harmony and oneness stood out to me, because those are two words I would use to describe our congregations here in Elmira and our sister one in Buffalo. And we know it's not just our two small congregations either, but all of them spread about this earth. You can see, share, and feel that harmony, that oneness, whenever you visit another church congregation. Now, Bibi and I have had the opportunity to visit several other church congregations in our past travels. And they all seem to possess those definitions, these words associated with fellowship. And I'm sure we've all seen that. Togetherness was another word that stuck out to me, but we'll get to that a little bit more later on. So, in looking at its definition, we can better see and understand just why God wants us to, in fact, fellowship with one another. Why He likes it when we assemble together on the weekly Sabbath day to fellowship with each other and also with Him. Fellowship is just as important to God as prayer is, as Bible study, as meditation and fasting. That's why I chose this subject to talk about today. He designed His church to be a fellowship and not just a community. There is a difference there, because a fellowship is not only a community of people, has a community of people in it, but they resemble a family unit, a family structure. A spiritual family of brothers and sisters who care and share God's ideals and beliefs. Now, hopefully after this message, you'll have a better understanding
and a better appreciation for why fellowship is so important. Now, in order to fellowship with one another, where do we need to be? Seems like a silly question, doesn't it? But we need to be present at services if we are going to fellowship with one another in the first place. That means being able to travel to services. And for those who have the means, who have the ability to travel, whatever the length of the trip may be for us, we consider it a great opportunity to attend services. That in itself is a great blessing that we should not take for granted, that ability to just be here on a weekly basis. Because the Sabbath and attending services on a weekly basis should, in fact, be the highlight of our week. I know it is for myself, and that means being able, and then the same should be said for the holy days as well. Excuse me. For myself, I know that after going through 5 to 6 days of work, both at my place of employment and at home, and the issues that I have to deal with on a daily basis in both places, I find it a relief come Friday night in the evening when I know that I can relax, I can unwind, and I can put all those cares away and focus on something more important than all of that. I can focus on the Sabbath day. I can look forward to seeing all of you again and fellowshipping with you. I look forward to serving, whether it be through giving a message like now or helping with the hall setup, listening to others, sharing stories, singing hymns together, giving prayers, and so on. I look forward to the messages I'll hear and what new or inspiring lessons I'll take away each week, for the opportunity to be spiritually recharged after going through the daily activities of the past week. And in addition to the fellowship with the members, I also look forward to the fellowship I'll have with God and the chance to come into His presence and worship Him. See, it's not just with all of us here that we have to remember we fellowship with. It's also with the man upstairs as well. So yes, the regular Sabbath day and the holy day should be very special to us. And by being able to make it here and attend on a regular basis is of importance, or it should be. It is a true blessing and one that we should not take so lightly. Because if we didn't have the funds, or if we didn't have a vehicle to make it here, or the distance was just too far for us, we would not have the opportunity to be here and to fellowship and see everyone to begin with. Now, the reason we even have the chance to fellowship on a regular basis is because church services are considered holy convocations. That exact phrase, holy convocation or vocations, is found in only 4 chapters of the entire Bible, if you look at the King James Version or New King James Version. They are found in Exodus 12, Leviticus 23, Numbers 28, and Numbers 29. Now, in most of those instances, in those places, this phrase is used in connection with the annual holy days. But, in Leviticus 23, verse 3, it is used in connection with the weekly Sabbath. So they are holy convocations, but just what exactly is a holy convocation? I'm going to throw out some more terminology for you here. A convocation is simply a large formal meeting of people or an assembly of persons, like here we are all here today. Pretty straightforward, I think, in terms of its definition. So, if the Sabbath day and the holy days were only, say, convocations, they weren't holy, but they were just convocations, We can make more of a personal decision, I think, on whether to attend or not. You know, not just if you were sick or ill and had a reason to not be here, but maybe you just didn't feel like coming that day, like so many other people I know in the world. These days are holy convocations. They are authorized by God Himself, and He expects His people to be here, to be at Sabbath services and the holy days. And it's as if he's calling us himself. Just like when a bugler blows his bugle on an army base and all the men come out of their barracks and form ranks. This type of convocation is not a suggestion. It is not optional. It's a command by God, as if he's blowing that trumpet or that bugle and calling us to assemble together. So these assemblies are an important part of our lives. God made these times partly to provide a time for his people to assemble and to worship him. He also made them so we could come together as a spiritual family, one in which we can share our thoughts, our feelings, our ideas, one in which we can fellowship. So far, we've gone over and looked at just what fellowship means and why it's so important to be at services in order to fellowship with one another and God. But there is more to it than that. Another point we need to look at and remember is that fellowship, good fellowship, takes work. It just doesn't happen because building a strong bond of friendship among people takes time and effort. You know, Bibi and I really enjoy camping, and we try to go at least once or twice a year. We like getting in touch, so to speak, with nature and seeing what God has created in the great outdoors. This year will be no different for us, except for the fact that we'll have two small furry creatures coming with us, our two dogs, Morgan and Harrison. Now, each time we go camping, I have the responsibility of tending to the campfire. I have to make sure that we have logs in the first place, kindling, and anything else needed to start and or maintain the fire once it's going. And to maintain a campfire takes work. You have to make sure that it is well tended, the flames don't get too high or too low, and so on. The same goes for our fellowship, brethren. We have to work at it. So, let me ask you, do you find fellowship enjoyable? Are you satisfied with your conversation? Do you and those you talk to feel better off for having been together? Or is your fellowship merely a matter of shaking hands with one another, talking about the weather, the latest news, or just saying hello? We need to remember that fellowship, like building any type of relationship, takes work. It takes each of us interacting with each other. Think about it for a second. In order to have a relationship with God, we all have to get to know him. And how do we get to know him? We get to know him through our prayers and our Bible study, our meditation, our fasting. Those things help each of us draw closer to God. And they all require us to spend time with our Heavenly Father. They all require us having to work at that relationship. Likewise, if we are to have a relationship with the brethren, we need to spend time getting to know each other as well. The bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood that were built during the time of Christ sprang up from the fellowship of those who often shared trials together. The Apostle Paul and Silas had such a trial. So if you would turn to Acts 16, and we'll start there reading in verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. So we see that this girl was possessed by a demon. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, like most of us I think would be, turned and said to this spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they didn't have their cash cow anymore, They seize Paul and Silas and drag them to the marketplace to the authorities. In verse 20, they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city." They didn't say that these two guys cast out a demon from the person who was making us money. They just said, "Oh, they're causing a ruckus and we want something done about it." And continuing on in verse 21, "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely." So they were beaten for doing something that was good, that was right. Both Paul and Silas. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet to the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I figure that one out. Would you be doing that after being beaten and thrown into jail? I don't necessarily know if I would be doing so. Continuing on, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep, and seeing the prison doors opened, now did he think that everyone was still there? No. Supposing that the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and about to kill himself, because he knew that if a higher-up came down the next day and saw that he didn't do his job, he might, in fact, be killed. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all still here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas, the jailer, the person in charge. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those who were in his house. He took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And then verse 34, "Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." So, in this account we see that Paul and Silas were both beaten and imprisoned for actually doing something good, like I said before, for another human being in casting out that demon. They suffered together through the situation as brothers in Christ, much in the same way that we do today. If one of us is physically hurt or ill or going through a various trial, it's the responsibility of the rest of us to be there for them, isn't it? Through fellowship, we can offer our help, ourselves, our time, our prayers, or just a listening ear. Sometimes that's all it takes. And through this, our bonds of fellowship, that helps us to grow stronger. They are built up by the time and effort that we put into our relationship with one another, much in the same way as Paul and Silas here in the book of Acts. The bonds that they built were strong and necessary to prepare them for the trials that they had to undergo, like the one we just read about, as individuals and as a collective body of fellow believers. We need those same close bonds today, brethren. And in taking those steps, making the effort, and building up one another, we can be of one accord. We can have harmony. We can have unity. We can be of one body of believers. Remember? Earlier, from the beginning of this split sermon, those were some of the words used to describe fellowship. So it takes work, and it takes effort on our part to continue to make it work. But we shouldn't look at fellowship as a chore that we don't really want to do, but know that we sort of just have to do. I'll tell you another story about myself. Most of you know that I grew up the son of a farmer. And as you can imagine, I had more than my fair share of responsibilities and chores growing up on the farm. I used to joke with Bibi when we started getting to know one another. She would say, well, what age did you start, working? I told her 4 or 5, some ridiculously low age. It wasn't that low, but I was out probably by age 8 or 9, helping my dad in the barn. And I'm not going to lie, there were many, many, many times that I did not feel like doing whatever it is that I wanted. I wanted to be out playing. I didn't want to be doing chores. I was a kid. Anyhow, and at times I would kick and drag my feet through the task because, like I said, I just didn't want to be there. I didn't want to do it. That attitude that I had as a boy growing up is not the one that I should have had. And it's not how we should approach our fellowship either. Yes, fellowship takes work, but I think it's a good kind of work, if we can look at it that way. It's like planting flowers. This is how I'll describe it. It's like planting flowers. You need to take the time, you need to take the effort to first get the flowers or raise them over the winter in your house. Then you have to dig the holes outside, fertilize the soil, plant them in the ground. Then after all that's done, you still need to water and tend to them over time to make sure that they are getting all that they need to flourish and bloom. That, to me, is a good kind of work because the fruits of your labor are evident. They are pleasing, and not only to you, but to all those around you as well. It's the same way with our fellowship, brethren. We need to put forth the energy and keep in contact with each other here at services and, if possible, during the week. Enjoy one another's company, and in doing so, we will continue to build those brotherly and sisterly bonds of Christian love. Remember that fellowship is beneficial for us and for the person whom we talk to. And let's not forget that it's also important to God. It pleases Him to see us, in fact, forming and keeping and solidifying these bonds with each other. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll start reading in verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. The importance of fellowship in our lives is part of the reason that the people of God are commanded to, as it says here in verse 24, to let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Every week on God's Sabbath day, we gather together not only to hear the Word of God taught to us, but also to strengthen each other through our fellowship, our conversations with our spiritual brothers and sisters, and the encouragement that we share is beneficial and can be very helpful for us. And in the times that we live in, I think our fellowship should be stronger and more prominent than ever. Like I said earlier, after going through 5 to 6 days of being out there, being part of the world, so to speak, and all the activities that take place in my life, I look forward to the Sabbath day and to spend time with the brethren, with all of you, to come together as God commands us to worship Him, to sing songs, be inspired through the message, and yes, also to fellowship. Now notice that word together in verse 25. not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. So he intended to grow a family of believers who would work and worship together. And by coming together for services and fellowshipping with one another, we can continue to build the unity and community that comes from togetherness, from being together. We all have, at some point or another in the past, not been able to attend services due to a personal illness, or if we had to, say, care for someone else. So let me ask you then, how do you feel that day and the coming week when you couldn't make it to services? How do you feel? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel that great. I wish I could have been there. And even if I am able to watch, say, a live service from Cincinnati or an archive message on the internet, it's just not the same. Why is it, do you think? Why is that? Well, isn't it because you missed seeing and being with the brethren and spending time with them as you usually would have? You miss serving each other, singing with each other, hearing the messages together, and fellowshipping. Fellowship does more than just help us get to know one another better or produce idle chit-chat. It helps us solidify our relationships with one another, and it helps us to build them up. Because once we form relationships, we have to keep working at them. If you would turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133 in verse 1. And we'll see what King David had to say about this. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So we see that togetherness produces unity among the brethren. That's because we have assembled or come together for worship and fellowship. That should unify us, and it does unify us. That brings us to a state of oneness. And we also see that these things are good. They are pleasant, as David says. They aren't cumbersome. They are beneficial in bringing us together as a community of believers, and that should make all of us feel good. And if our fellowship is good and pleasant, it will produce both physical and spiritual fruit. It will be pleasing for all of us and to God as well. Just like when you go outside and you can smell those fresh flowers that you planted when they're in bloom. That sweet aroma is pleasing to our sense of smell, isn't it? Or like when you're walking down the street and you pass by some flowers. Just like our fellowship with one another is pleasing to God because He looks down on us and He can see that unity, that oneness, that togetherness that we have with one another. He can see a group of people who have formed bonds of friendship with one another and uphold and share and have similar interests. And that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. We have been called from all walks of life and backgrounds into His church. So why does God want people who would probably never cross paths if I didn't grow up in the church or come back to the church? I can definitely say that I would not know any of you. And that probably the same could be the same for all of us. So why does God want people who would probably never cross paths come together in fellowship with one another? Well, we have looked at and partly answered this question here already today. But let's break it down into 3 points. I myself am a person who likes points because they seem to break down those large chunks of information into smaller pieces that I can handle. So I have 3 points that I'll go over. Point number one is that fellowship can help us become unified. Fellowship can help us become unified. Now, we just looked at how coming together and being together for church services, which includes fellowship, helps unify us as a spiritual family. But let's look at another set of scripture that I think sheds a little bit more light on the topic. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now remember that Jesus Christ built his church around him. Matthew 16:18, which I alluded to earlier, stated that. He was the first. He was, in fact, the chief cornerstone. And if we were called into the fellowship of him, that means that we were called into God's church to have a closer relationship with Christ. And in order to do that, we need to communicate through our fellowship with him and each other. Continuing on in verse 10, it says, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In other words, be unified in the body of Christ. Be perfectly joined together, as it says here in verse 10. One way we can achieve this is to have a proper fellowship with each other, with one another, and let our speech, our fellowship, match that of our mindset and why we are actually here in the first place, why we've been called. Point number two is that fellowship can help us overcome our weaknesses and develop Christian character. It can help us overcome our weaknesses and develop Christian character. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. Romans 12:9. It says, Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate with one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Continuing on in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, and as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So in other words, behave like a Christian should. All these aspects of our life and personality that we just read about depend in part on our fellowship If we are striving to conduct our lives in a proper manner, with the right type of thinking, the right type of actions, then what comes out of our mouth, what we will in fact speak about, will also conform to what is on the inside, what we're thinking. If we are speaking the truth, if we are speaking in a loving way, if we are rejoicing or weeping, basically caring for one another like we should, our fellowship will reflect all of that. It will reflect our inner thoughts and feelings and bring forth the good quality of fellowship that I think we all desire, especially after hearing nowadays what we find on the radio or on the television or on the internet or by people in general, all that filth that we hear on a continual basis out there in the world. It's nice to come together and to fellowship with one another. Moving on now to point number three. And point number three on fellowship is that it provides us with a support system. Fellowship provides us with a support system. We just read Romans 12:15, where it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." In all the different situations and trials we find ourselves in, it's nice to have someone we can lean on for understanding or for that support or for that encouragement, isn't it? Because we know if roles were reversed, that that person could also depend on us as well. So remember, that fellowship can play a big role in helping all of us stay connected. And by staying connected, we can better understand one another, which will help in those times that we all need support. If you want to, you can look at fellowship this way. It's sort of how I look at it. You know, in the Bible, it tells us that we are supposed to be lights to the world, right? We're supposed to set a good example for the people out there so that they can see how a proper Christian should be living. How we are to be shining examples that portray just how true Christian life should be lived. Well, I think that not only pertains to out there, but it pertains to in here as well. It pertains to God's chosen people. If you would, turn to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. For our concluding scripture today, 1 John 1, verse 5. Starting in verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we follow him, are in agreement with, if we have companionship and are at one with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We think one way, but we act another, and that's not what God is looking for." But continuing on in verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, we have that fellowship with one another." Yes, we should be setting a good example for society. But I believe it is just as important for us to be lights to each other as well. And one way we can be doing that is through our fellowship with one another on the individual Sabbath days like today and on the holy days. So, let's not soon forget these valuable lessons on fellowship we've heard today, but continue to solidify and grow our bonds of brother and sisterhood between one another as we all continue to strive towards the coming kingdom.